On May 22, 2011, a Category 5 tornado, EF5, ripped through Joplin, Missouri, killing 161 people and damaging more than 7,000 homes. Among the many takeaways from that disaster, which was one of the deadliest and costliest tornadoes in American history, was the need for improving our tornado warning system. Now, last year, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, set up an experiment that changed the way tornado warning messages were communicated to the public. The experiment was successful, and these changes will expand to 12 states this month, including Michigan. And with us now by phone to explain the new system is Mike Hudson, a meteorologist and chief operations officer with the National Weather Service in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
Can you explain what these revolve around impact-based warnings? What is an impact-based warning?
Well, to the best description that I can think of this morning on a beautiful Monday, what we're after is when we issue a tornado warning for a community, obviously the phenomenon is what gets people's attention, but it's the impacts of that phenomenon that very much drive people to take action, that motivate them to seek shelter. What we are doing with the new IBW, or impact-based warning demonstration, is adding text and verbiage within the warning products that our local weather service offices issue that paint the picture of what the magnitude of weather is that's expected in that community within the next 10 to 15 minutes. Most people have never lived through a tornado, much less one that produces quite a bit of damage. So on those days when we are expecting the stronger variety of tornadoes, that language will paint the picture for the folks in the path of the storm, give them some experience to draw upon to make better decisions on how to protect themselves and their family.
Well, we hear a handful of tornado warnings every year here in mid-Michigan, and they include language to the effect like, you know, go to the basement, take shelter under a heavy object, the interior of the house, all of that stuff. These will go further, these impact-based warnings?
Yes, they sure will, especially when we are expecting some of the stronger variety of tornadoes. Now, thankfully, those are fairly rare there in Michigan, although they have happened. Go back to the Flint tornado of 1953 as an example of that type of magnitude of weather. When we're expecting those types of tornadoes, what we're looking for in the language that comes out to the people who are receiving the information is a description of what they might expect to see after coming out of shelter, ranging from mobile homes being rolled or destroyed to getting up to the strongest of the tornado warnings, what we call the catastrophic tornado damage threat tag, which is a tornado emergency, where language may be as strong as you could be killed if not underground or in a tornado shelter. Painting the picture again to describe to folks exactly what to expect with this particular storm as it moves into their area.
So are you saying then that the tornado warnings we hear in Michigan here, coming up in a matter of weeks probably, will contain language like that?
Yes, they will, although thankfully, again, fairly rare to hear that. You know, it's an important thing to remember that any tornado warning is a serious bulletin. It means something has been indicated by radar or spotted by a trained weather spotter that indicates a threat's heading towards a community or towards an area, and you want to be sure to take shelter from every tornado warning. But on those particular days where, on rare occasion, again, we expect perhaps the stronger variety of tornado to form from a storm, we've got 60-plus years of data that suggests that those types of storms are the ones that end up being the ones that kill the most people. On those particular days, if our forecaster has enough information at his or her fingertips to say, you know, I'm a little concerned that this storm might produce one of those stronger variety of tornadoes, we will use the enhanced language to communicate, again, the enhanced impact, the enhanced risk, to allow people to make better decisions about how quickly and exactly where they go to seek shelter.
Do you like being a meteorologist stationed in Kansas City because of the frequency of severe storms?
Well, certainly severe weather is what attracted me to studying weather and making it a career and a passion. As we looked out towards as an example, we looked at this demonstration last year in light of the 2011 severe weather. We realized that very much over the last 40 or 50 years, very little has changed about how the National Weather Service messages tornado information to communities. and a lot has changed in those 50 years. So to me, this particular project was very much a passion and something that drew me to it, that number one, it deals with severe weather, which is something that very much interests me from a scientific standpoint. But number two, a chance to perhaps craft the message in a little bit more effective fashion that may very well end up saving someone's life when they hear words of a storm heading towards their area and it described in a fashion that makes them more motivated to go and take action to seek shelter.
Mike, could climate change be altering the geography of Tornado Alley? Everybody's heard of Tornado Alley. It's that, what, Texas to Wisconsin or thereabouts. Could climate change be altering the configuration of Tornado Alley?
No evidence really exists that suggests that anything has changed with respect to where the most frequent tornadoes occur or where the strongest tornadoes occur. But with that said, going back over 50, 60 years of tornado data, there have been stronger tornadoes observed basically in every state east of the Rocky Mountains. Looking again back to the 1953 tornadoes there in Michigan as an example, that they have occurred in the past, they will occur again in the future. And we want to have our forecasters armed with the information and the tools that they can use to communicate better to communities when those particular days do raise their head and pose a threat to the state.
Is the National Weather Service adequately funded, or are you feeling pressure as far as funding goes?
Well, at the National Weather Service, we show up every day doing the best job that we can, issuing as accurate a forecast as we can. We are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with our four offices in the state of Michigan. We continue business as usual.
But have you had staff cuts? Have you had personnel cuts? Is there that kind of pressure given the kind of larger economic picture?
No pressure to that end. Our forecast offices remain staffed the same way that they've been for about the past 10, 15 years.
Very good. Glad to hear it. I'm reassured to hear that. Mike Hudson is a meteorologist and chief operations officer for the National Weather Service based in Kansas City. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.